We welcome you once again to Words of Truth. Last week, our lesson was entitled, When God Says No. Today, we kind of want to incorporate that thought into the meaning of conversion. There are so many ideas about what conversion is, I thought it would be good for us to study the New Testament to see what conversion really is, not based on man's think so or man's ideas, but upon what the Word of God really says. So, we shall go to the Scriptures to find out. In the last paragraph of the book of James, the younger brother of our Lord wrote, My brethren, if any among you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he who converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. James 5:19-20. In this passage, the key words are convert and converteth. In the 18th chapter of the Gospel, according to Matthew, in verse 3, there is the saying of our Lord, Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall nowise enter the kingdom of heaven. In Acts 3 and verse 19, a sermon preached by the Apostle Peter included the lines, Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. To anyone who is very familiar with the Bible, it is very clear that God intended for men to be converted. The word converted is not used as often in the Bible as some other words. Very often, instead of the word convert, the expression to turn is used. For example, in some translations, the passages just used are presented, Except ye repent and turn again, ye shall nowise enter the kingdom of heaven. And, Repent ye therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. Since these alternate expressions convey the same idea, we are very certain of the meaning of the word convert. In looking in Webster's dictionary, we find the word convert defined as to turn from one belief or course to another. To the related word, conversion is defined as a spiritual and moral change, attending a change of belief with conviction, a definite and decisive adoption of religion. Unquote. The word convert is not a shallow word, but one that goes all the way to the very center of man's being. It means to change one's life. We use a word in ordinary conversation at times. For example, a man may on occasion play golf on a course that a few years before was a field. The field has been converted into a golf course. Or it may be that from time to time you visit some large house formerly used as a residence, but now is converted into a place of business, perhaps a funeral home or a restaurant. It has been converted. Now, I mention all of this in order to say that when one comes to Christ, God's intention is that he be converted. It is not some mere surface redecoration or something done in a few minutes with little effect on the deeper aspects of one's life. Real conversion must be deep. In the New Testament, we read of a number of conversions. For instance, in the book of Acts, there are 8 major examples of conversion. In the second chapter of Acts, the Apostle Peter preached the first full sermon of the Christian era. And the multitude of people that heard him were pricked in their hearts after he had said, Listen, let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified. They were touched, so that they said, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Having heard the gospel preaching, theme of the sermon, they said, What shall we do? The divine theme, the preaching was, Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God. That was the theme of the sermon. They said, "What shall we do?" They made bold their faith in asking that question. The answer was, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Acts 2:36 and 38. These people were converted. They believed something that they had not formerly believed. And out of that new belief, they changed their lives radically. Whereas before, they had been Jews in their worship, now they became Christians. Whereas before, the temple had been the center of their worship, now central in their thinking was the church. Whereas before, there had been the offering of animal sacrifices and the keeping of the Passover, now they engage in Christian worship and the eating of the Lord's Supper. The old had given way to the new. The Sabbath day gave way to the first day of the week. Their lives were changed. Their destiny likewise was changed because of their conversion. Turn a few pages, and in chapter 9 of this same book of Acts, we read the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. The Lord appeared to him, causing him to believe in Christ as the Son of God. And even in that very moment, he confessed his faith in Christ. A little later, he went into Damascus and spent 3 days in prayer and fasting, showing his deep repentance. Yet, notice, Saul of Tarsus was not saved. At the end of this time, God sent a preacher, Ananias, who said, "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Acts 22 and verse 16. He did it, notice, immediately. Saul of Tarsus, who had been a persecutor of Christians, now converted by his new faith in Christ, became a proclaimer of Christianity. How radical, how deep, how lifelong was the conversion that took place in his heart. We turn one leaf in our Bibles to chapter 10 of the book of Acts, and we read of a Roman centurion on occupation duty in Palestine. The gospel was preached to him by Peter. He and his household believed it, indicated their belief, turned the direction of their lives, and the story ends with their being baptized. When Cornelius and his family were converted to Christ, their lives, previously moving in one direction, began to move in another direction. Turn a few more pages to Acts 16, and we read of the Philippian jailer. There was a man whose conversion was unexpected and even amazing. He was a pagan jailkeeper in the city of Philippi. In the midst of one night, there was an earthquake. Prison doors were sprung free, and in the experience, he listened as a man of God taught him about Christ. Before the dawn had come, after several hours of teaching, this Philippian jailer had believed in Christ with his household, and they had come to see the need for changing the direction of their lives. As a final step, they were baptized into Christ and were converted. From Judaism, some were converted to Christianity. From paganism, others were converted to Christianity. In our day, some are converted to Christianity from sin and worldliness. In our day, others who are in early life and who had not yet learned much of the world are converted to Christ in the sense that they make their commitments to Christ. Even before knowing many of the sins of the world, they make a decision away from all sin toward righteousness. Conversion is the most significant thing that happens in a person's life. Our Lord described it as a new birth. It is so radical, so extreme in its import, that he called it a new birth. When he explained it to Nicodemus, as we read in John chapter 3, Nicodemus could not understand it and tried to interpret it in terms of being born again physically. Jesus corrected this misapprehension. It is not a physical birth at all, for a man looks just as he did before he became a Christian. His name does not change, and in most instances, his job does not change, nor his place of residence. It is a spiritual change of his heart. What it literally means is that he gives the central place in his heart to Christ, taking away from himself. How common it is for a man to worship himself or some institution or some object. In conversion, he takes the central place in his heart away from these and puts the central emphasis of his life upon Christ. This is conversion. Is there a plan? Most definitely. There are some who object to the use of the expressions plan of salvation or scheme of redemption and steps by which one becomes a Christian. Primarily, the reason for their feeling is that talking about a plan of salvation is unwise is that some have seemed to accept the plan and have done the outward acts without doing the inward things that really are necessary in conversion. They have gone through the act of confessing Christ. They have been baptized, but their lives are not really changed. A plan of salvation apart from Christ is a meaningless thing. It is possible for a man to do the outward things that salvation requires, yet not be deeply moved nor dedicated to Christ. You've heard the phrase, join the church of your choice. Where is that ever found in the Bible? Or where is it found in the Bible that all one must do is to have faith only? Nowhere is it ever found. The Bible directs us to be converted, and that conversion involves the plan that God has given. Now, let me review that very briefly. God has said no to any other means of salvation other than what his will is for our lives. And we need to really think about that seriously. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son? Well, that's a beginning. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Therefore, we're going to be active. We're going to act upon that. And that means that we're going to turn from sin. That's repentance. Jesus said, except or unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Do we believe that? Well, that's what the Lord said. We need to repent or we will perish. Repentance is a change of mind, change of heart, which leads to a change of one's life. That's conversion. And then we're also to acknowledge with our mouth what we believe in the heart. Well, what do we believe in our hearts? We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. As a result of that belief in the heart, we then confess or acknowledge in a public way that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And by the way, that confession is before others. And then finally, we are immersed, baptized in water for the forgiveness of our sins. It's not because we've already been forgiven, but it is that we might be forgiven. On the day of Pentecost, they asked, what do we need to do? They were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, are we going to comply to God's will or say no and reject it? It's up to you. Why not worship with us today, 9:30 for Bible study, 10:25 for our worship together, and also we meet this evening at 6 o'clock. We also meet on Wednesday evening for our midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock, and there are classes for every age group. We invite you, we encourage you to come and worship with us. Bring your Bible and bring a friend. You'll always be welcome. Until next week, as once again we present words of truth, we bid you a good day.